Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted failure, so here I am. You were looking for intelligence. Then you know I wouldn't stand a chance. But you said you wanted fools, so here I am. Thank you, God, for love I don't deserve.
right thing can get lonely. I discovered that many years ago. As a college student, I was part of a young adult Bible study in my church. Our leaders decided that we should do some kind of service project as part of the group to be active in serving the Lord in some way. Everyone nodded. It seemed like a good idea. So we started asking around, where was the biggest need in our community? For our town, what was the most pressing and perhaps extreme problem that we could help out with? Then someone said it. What about AIDS? And the room got very quiet. You should understand that this was the mid-1980s, and at that time, only three things were commonly known about AIDS. It was incredibly contagious. To get it, you had probably been living a homosexual lifestyle, and if you got it, you were definitely going to die. People were terrified of this disease. At the time, AIDS was spreading like wildfire and seemed to be killing those who caught it in a matter of months. In fact, so little was known about the disease that most AIDS patients were kept in separate hospice care to keep them from accidentally infecting others. It was nearly impossible to think about the way Jesus had reached out to lepers and not acknowledge that ministering to patients in an AIDS hospice would certainly be where one of the greatest needs was. But our group was not in a hurry to do that. And I'll bet you can guess why. This ministry sounded dangerous, maybe stupid. Someone suggested that we should do some investigating to see if this would be a safe and prudent course of action. And so our leaders convinced a nurse from one of these hospice facilities to come down to the church in her own free time and tell us about the possible dangers. She explained that about 99% of what we in the young adult group thought we knew about AIDS was nothing more than hysteria. That many of our facts had been sold to us by people outside of the medical community, people who were probably looking to further an agenda, and that, in truth, the health risks of basic outreach in an AIDS hospice were probably close to zero. But again, she was clear that, at the time, they were taking every precaution. They didn't know for sure. The hospice nurse then told a dramatic story of a patient who was very close to passing away, and how she had taken off her medical gloves to touch him, and how the patient was moved to tears. This man had not felt a simple human touch, skin-on-skin contact with another human being, since being diagnosed with the disease. When I heard this, my heart broke. Clearly, we had to do something, and I could all but hear an attitude shift in the room. But it wasn't the shift I expected. As the nurse left and the discussion ensued, it was immediately clear that virtually everyone was of the exact same mind. There was simply no way they were going to risk their lives for dying people who, by the way, likely contracted this disease from participating in a gay lifestyle. Sorry, but no. End of discussion. In that moment, I looked across the room and found my friend Jim staring back at me. I looked at him and he looked at me, and we realized that we saw this situation totally different from the crowd. And that, good God, is this even possible? We were the only ones. Yes, we were. Up to this point, neither Jim nor I were considered the most holy, spiritual, or committed in the group. In fact, despite us doing a lot of volunteer work at the church, we were considered to be less churchy overall than everyone else in the room. You might be surprised to discover that this young adult group not only went on to reject the idea of working with AIDS patients, they didn't find any other alternative service projects to complete either. They had scared themselves with the idea, and that was enough. As for my buddy Jim, he went on to eventually found his own ministry, working with ex-cons and people off of the street, many of whom have AIDS, so there. And as for me, well, you know the rest of the story. But to my buddy and I, the decision was simple. Sure, you take smart precautions, but from there, if God had your back, it didn't matter what the odds said. If God didn't have your back, then no place was safe. A lot of Christians get tripped up on the idea of playing the odds. When I started my career in prison ministry, it suddenly occurred to me that, as a single man, I needed to find a woman that A, didn't mind the fact that I made almost nothing for a living, B, admired the idea of me spending all day locked in a jailhouse, and C, had a walk with the Lord fairly comparable to my own. A quick review of the math told me that the odds of me finding this woman and her being attracted to me and me to her and us living in the same town, well, the odds said that that never would happen. The odds said I would be alone forever. The odds said that if you wanted company, you needed to hang back with the rest of your young adult Bible study and not help people with AIDS and try somehow to feel okay about that. You certainly shouldn't blaze a trail all your own. But life doesn't happen according to the odds. As my father used to say, the dice don't know the odds. There's nothing stopping you from rolling snake eyes 100 times in a row. The odds say it's impossible, but the dice don't know the odds. And with God, the odds simply don't matter. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." In the end, my wife and I found each other despite the odds. And in a quarter century of inner city and prison ministry, I don't have so much as a scratch on me. And I have never had so much as a dime go missing. Understand, it hasn't been easy. The enemy has mounted his attacks, and I've faced all kinds of dangers, all kinds of technical breakdowns, logistical nightmares, and enough institutional red tape to last a lifetime. Not to mention the biggest problem of all. Lack of funding. In every instance, you might look upon my life and say, here is a lone man about to meet with utter failure. But the truth is, God has snatched me away from looming disasters so many times that I've almost started having faith that he'll keep doing it. And God has brought together the most amazing companions to support the ministry and help us keep beating the odds. Those companions may be few, but they're the best people in the world. At the end of the day, I'd rather have my many challenges and few faithful companions than a whole church full of scared, faithless congregants who aren't willing to touch a sick person. I guess you could say that I like my odds. You're faced with the same challenge. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Matthew 7:13-14. We feel there's safety in numbers, but this verse seems to suggest otherwise. Sure, the cost of following the narrow way is that you are one of the few. But the fate of those few on that narrow way is not shaped by the odds or their numbers or even by the external realities of life. God alone determines their fate. As human beings, we are very attracted to the notion of self-determination. We love the concept that we determine our own fate, that we make things go. We desperately want to be the one in charge in our own lives. We love the idea so much that we have a hard time seeing that it's not true and it never was. When I do something good and smart, I know that's God at work within me, And when I mess up, I know God is constantly protecting me from letting things get as bad as they could. God has been determining and guiding my steps all along. In truth, I need the humility to look at life in all of its swirling chaos and in all its fickle little disasters and recognize, on my own, I can't control any of it. No, I simply don't have that power. But my Father does, and He's in control of every bit of it. What this means is that I'm no longer subject to what might happen. Yes, if I stand my ground, I might stand it alone, but then God will provide me with companions for that journey. Yes, if I follow Jesus to the jailhouse, I might drive there in a car that's falling apart, but that car will make it against all odds. And yes, if I insist on a godly spouse, heaven bent on serving the least of these in the name of Jesus, I might have a bit of a weight on my hands. But then comes our wedding day and our wedding night and our whole new life together. To be clear, before I met my wife, I went through 4 long, hard years of loneliness, and man, that sucked. But in many areas of my life, I had to go through the desert before I was allowed to enter the promised land. At the time, I was not thankful for the heat and sand and blistered feet, but now looking back, I wonder where I would be without that time in the desert. What would my marriage be like without the intimacy with God that was forged in my heart on that anvil of desert solitude? Don't be dismayed if you follow the Lord through that narrow way and find yourself with few companions. Don't even be dismayed when you discover that there are fewer and fewer companions, as the way continues to get narrower and narrower. Don't be dismayed by your time in the desert. Don't be dismayed because you know the secret. The secret is that the promised land doesn't come from hard work or being responsible or acting churchy. The promised land is a gift and one God wants desperately to give all His children. You just have to be ready for it. You have to be prepared to receive it, or it's no blessing at all. Your feet need to be tough and your legs strong. The way to the promised land is through the desert. And soon enough for you, it'll be right over the next week.